It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller.
Hey, Paul, glad to be here in studio with you today, keeping you company on a rainy, gloomy day.
Boy, you know, nobody wants, everybody's calling it in today. You were one of the brave ones. So.
Well, welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective Radio Show. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. I'm a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation, and I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 21 years, helping them to clarify their objectives and reach their goals. If you'd like to know more about my coaching service, just go to my website, thecoachingperspective.com. Well, you know, each month we focus on a specific theme in terms of our guests' expertise and the topics we'll be discussing. And for January, we're talking about goals, resolutions, and plans. And then February, March, we'll be focusing on career and life changes. So I'm looking for people to have on the show who are experts in these fields, and also for people who are experiencing these issues and are willing to share those experiences with us so that we can learn from them. As always, the live show is going to be available as a podcast after each show. So those of you who can't listen at our regular time on Thursdays can enjoy them at your convenience. So if you work in these areas in some capacity or just want to share your experiences in dealing with these issues, then please contact me either by email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com, or by phone, 714-726-8354. Well, keeping with that theme, our topic for today is from idea to plan to execution, achieving your goals in 2017. Hey, does that sound like an ambitious statement? What if every goal you set, you accomplished? Have you ever done that before? I don't think I've ever met anybody who's said that. Well, let's get down to it. It doesn't matter if you call them goals, resolutions, business plans, or strategic plans. They all refer to the same thing, which is we want to accomplish something new or change something we're currently doing. You could be talking about getting more exercise, losing weight, fixing relationships, starting a new business, or just changing how you currently do business. It doesn't matter. Our success in achieving these goals all depends on the same three things. What? Three things? Yes. So let me share with you today the steps that I go through with my clients involving three things. They are prioritizing, visualizing, and accountability. PVA, if you want an acronym. Prioritizing, visualizing, and accountability. You know, first, to truly identify a goal that you really want to achieve, you have to do some prioritization. Once in a while, I run into somebody who, when I ask them what your goals are or what's your business plan for the year or what are your personal plans for this year, you know, they look at me like that deer in the headlight look, like I never thought of that before. But most of the time, people spit out dozens of things. All of them range from something I just thought of 2 minutes ago to something I've always wanted to do. So prioritizing is the key thing. This is where we separate the wish list from things that are really important to us, not just those urgent things. You know, we've all been seduced by what other people think we should do rather than deciding what we really want for ourselves. It may be your spouse, best friend, or even a TV commercial that is sure they know what you need to accomplish this year. It starts with things like, Doug, you have to exercise more. Or, Doug, you need to grow your business. Did you notice that none of these statements are bad ideas? I mean, who's against exercise or growing their business? But if these are just good ideas, the chances are I'll never stick with them long enough to reach the goal. What they have to be are things that are so important to me that I'm willing to experience the pain necessary to achieve them. The pain may be spending money, it may be dedicating time, or it may be giving up something that I enjoy doing or that I'm just comfortable with. You know, frequently I'm asked by people to help them with time management. And, you know, we've all been through those time management exercises where you list out, how have I spent my time in the last two or three days or the last week, and then you go, what are the things I need to do that I'm not finding time to do? The basic problem with time management is the issue is it has nothing to do with managing time. It's all about self-management. It's all about managing yourself, setting priorities, and living with them. The same issue that we face in setting longer-term goals. You can't add anything. Maybe somebody can, but it's highly unlikely that you can add anything to your existing schedule that you're going to do or work on without eliminating or reducing the time you spend on something else. It's a trade-off. It's a matter of setting priorities. If I am going to write a book this year, and if I decide that writing that book could get done and by devoting an hour a day to it, well, I can't look at my schedule and say I've got an hour that's absolutely blank that I just, you know, take a nap, zero out. I have to decide that, well, what am I going to give up so that I can spend that hour in writing? I'm going to give up watching TV, or I'm going to give up walking the dog, or I'm going to give up exercise. Now, it's all a matter of priorities. And that's the key problem with our goal setting. It's not that we can't come up with things, it's that we don't set the priorities. So how do you set those priorities? Do you let other people set them for you? This is what coaches call the should word. You know, everybody's telling me, Doug, you should do this, you should do that. None of those things are usually things that appeal to me. One of the ways in which to start to set these priorities is to look at the ROI of your goals. ROI is your return on investment. The return you're going to get by achieving this goal compared to the money, the time, or the effort that you're going to put into getting it. What I mean is, will the benefits of achieving the goal be greater than the cost? Do you know what life will look like when you achieve this goal, and is that worth the effort to get there? Is this a true priority for you at this time in your life or business? Priorities are time sensitive. You know, what might have been a high priority for me at 25 years old isn't a high priority for me at this stage of my life. You know, recently I was working with a client in identifying what their top goals would be for the year. And the management team had come up with a number of good ideas. All of them nice things. All of them worthwhile. One of the ideas was to increase the volume of business so that revenues would go up. Another idea was to work with the staff to produce their product or service quicker and with fewer errors, thereby reducing the costs. So when they compared these two good goals, they found that the ROI, return on investment, from working with the staff was much higher than the ROI from increasing the volume of business. So the decision was to work with the staff as a top goal for the year and to put the volume goal off to the next year. You think about this, what does it cost you to go after a new customer? You know, do you have to do new marketing programs? Do you need to start doing a weekly radio show? Do you need to hire more sales staff? Do you need to do more proposals? And you can figure out what all that cost and all that effort's going to be, and maybe it involves adding new people. New people involve adding more equipment. More equipment involves expanding the office. You know, the list kind of goes on and on and on. But when this company looked at what would be the benefit of being more productive, of being more efficient, the issue was, you know, all of the studies show us that none of our employees and none of us listening or talking here are going working at 100% capacity, 100% efficiency. Well, maybe the radio producer, he's waving to me there. You know, this is the same guy who said, I can't go home when you're done, Doug, because I've got things I need to do. So there is a proven, statistically proven, untapped capability in the majority, if not all, of your employees where they could produce another 15 or 20% more of efficient work if they were truly motivated, truly focused, truly understood what you wanted them to do. This costs you almost nothing because it only involves management time with existing staff, not new staff, not new equipment, not new computers, not new software, not a bigger office. So the ROI that this company found that paid off when they were considering two what appeared to be equally good goals of working on, the ROI tipped the scale and said, let's work on being more efficient. So as you think about the goals or the plans that you're considering this year, make a sheet of paper, get a sheet of paper, start to calculate what you think the ROI might be if you achieve these goals. What would be the benefit? What would be the cost? Now, many of our goals are not financially quantifiable, but that doesn't mean they're not quantifiable. What is the satisfaction that I would achieve if I knew that what I did helped somebody else, if I knew it truly made a difference in their life? There's a benefit to me there. What is the cost of that? Is the benefit greater than the cost? The cost might be maybe it's more time on their coaching sessions. Maybe the cost is just paying more attention. Maybe the cost is being bolder with them in terms of questions and challenges and accountability. Many of those costs come at no money cost whatsoever at all. And the benefit doesn't produce more revenue for me, but the satisfaction that I might achieve from that investment of effort would be phenomenal. Think about your ROI before you get locked into your goals for these. The next step is to visualize, is all about visualizing, or in coaching language, it's all about being. Both terms mean the same thing in my mind. Visualizing is a term that athletic coaches like to use, and being is a term that coaches prefer. Now, scientists have proven that our brain cannot tell the difference between what we think and what we experience. So we have a great opportunity here to trick it. This is an opportunity to learn or practice a new skill or experience just by thinking about it rather than actually doing it. And the results are that we learn without actually doing. For an athlete, this can mean that they visualize achieving the goal of winning the game by scoring the winning touchdown to the point where they are truly focused on what the end objective is. Now, visualization techniques have been around for quite a while, and in athletics, they've been proven to be absolutely key in enhancing and increasing performance. So let me just walk you through this silly little example for a minute, because I think it can apply in anything in your personal life, or it can apply in your business also. So the first thing that you have to do to make visualization work is you have to be truly clear. You have to have a clear picture, a precise picture of what the end result is that you're looking for. So if I'm going to go through this visualization, I have to know, what is it? It's not just winning the football game. It's not the team winning. It's me scoring the winning touchdown, not just scoring a touchdown, not just improving my yards per carry with the ball, but it's about scoring the winning touchdown. So in visualization, I am going to meditate and think about, what would that be like? What would the end result be if I achieve this goal? And in thinking about it, I need to have a very detailed thought session with myself. I have to try to invoke as many senses as I possibly can. Smell, color, touch, feel, whatever. So in this example, I might picture the team lined up. I'm there. I'm on the line. I'm bent over and ready to start running. I can smell the grass. I can hear the crowd roaring. I look at the scoreboard. I can see that the score is tied. The clock is counting down. I see out of the corner of my eye the snap of the ball, and I feel myself flying down the field, running faster than I've ever run before, running faster than the defenders. I can see the ball in the air. I can reach. I'm stretching out. I can feel that ball in my hand, the leather of the ball. It's just on my fingertips. And as I grasp it, I dive into the end zone and I see the goal line as I dive over it and land on the grass to the cheers of the crowd. This is the visualization technique. Now, why am I doing this? Because my brain doesn't know the difference between me actually scoring the winning touchdown and thinking about it. So why do I want to trick my brain here? By tricking my brain, I'm practicing the being or the discipline or the skills that it's going to take to catch that ball and make the winning touchdown. So it's just as good from my brain's point of view as if I was out on the practice field and running and catching and doing this. Now, obviously, visualization can only help if you've got the capability and the tools to achieve the goal. So if I can't run and if I can't catch, this is not a good example. But we're assuming that I can do those things, and what I'm looking for here is to practice over and over mentally that particular play, that particular exercise, so that when the real opportunity comes up, that I'm now fully prepared to experience this successfully, just the way my brain thinks I've done many, many times before. That's what visualization is. Now, the being coach achieves really the same thing with different terminology. The being coach wants to work with you so that you act and recognize the success of achieving the goal right now. It puts the accomplishment in the present tense, not in the future tense. And many times this uses affirmations to help you get that goal clear in your mind today. So the being means that I walk out on the practice field for today's practice knowing that I am a great runner, knowing that I have wonderful abilities to catch the ball, knowing that I can outrun any of the defenders in our league, and that I have the capability of catching that winning touchdown pass. And I walk out, I strut out onto the field with the inner confidence that I would have if I had just accomplished the event. So that's what being is about. You know, have you ever met people that walked into a room to experience something brand new and they just seem different than the rest of us? They seem more confident. They seemed more at ease. They seemed more in control. They were being what they were there to learn already. And that's what that is all about. It means, being means you have established the desired outcome, and you support the endeavor through your thoughts, your words, and your actions. It isn't about getting there. It's about I'm already there. I am everything I can be, everything I need to be already. The third step that I want to talk about here in accomplishing our goals is accountability. Boy, that's a word that most people don't like. They think of it as a punitive thing. They think of it as a nagging thing. And that's not what real accountability really is about. Accountability is all about staying focused on your goal for an extended period of time. You know, I was reading a book recently, and it was about the brain, and it was talking about the prefrontal cortex. And this is the area where the brain holds your current thoughts. It's not where things are stored, it's where things are happening, okay? And if you can't hold a thought currently in your prefrontal cortex, you don't have the ability to know what is going on. And for many of us, we set our goals on New Year's Eve. And by the end of New Year's Day, after 2 hours of parade and 10 hours of football, we don't even remember what our goal was. And if the goal was to start eating healthy, well, we're sitting there looking at a littered coffee table of beer cans, soft drinks, half-eaten potato chips, sandwiches, and an assorted other snacks. So Accountability is what tools are available to you to help you stay focused on this goal for the extended period of time that it's going to take for you to achieve it. Many people believe that the first step here is to publicly announce your goals. You know, and I'll point out right now that there's two opinions on this issue. One holds that by talking about our goals, we actually reduce the drive to achieve them, because by talking about it, we satisfy the urge to accomplish it. There's an emotional satisfaction just achieved in just talking about it that may diminish your drive to accomplish it. Now, the other camp holds that by telling others, we will feel more compelled to work on that goal because of peer pressure, because of recognition, because of the fact that you don't want to look silly. I personally lean towards the camp of telling as many people as possible about your goals. In this way, we're accountable. Maybe you're telling your coach or a coworker, who is in effect becoming your accountability partner, and you've set up a formal system for them to hold you accountable. But if you're just sharing it with other people, friends, family, coworkers, that informally creates an accountability, because next time they see you at the water cooler, they're going to say, "Hey, Doug, how you doing with that? How's the exercise program going? How you doing on achieving your sales goals?" So in an accountability culture, in a company or in a family, in any environment, it's one where everyone holds each other accountable. Listen to the words carefully here. Where everyone holds each other accountable for their commitments in a positive and productive manner. It is a culture of reinforcement. It is a culture of encouragement. It is a positive culture helping others to achieve their goals. The emphasis is on positive and productivity. Without that emphasis, we change the word from accountability to nagging. And that is not what we're looking for here. Webster's Dictionary defines accountability as the quality or state of being accountable, an obligation or willingness to accept responsibility for one's actions. You know, that is where businesses fall down in setting goals. They sometimes are set from the top down and nobody else participates. Boy, who buys into that? Many times in today's environment, they're set in a group meeting. We're going to have a retreat, or we're going to have a day where we're all going to talk about the goals. But the real issue is, has everyone bought into the goals that were discussed? Has everyone bought into the plan, and are they willing to accept responsibility for actions that will help achieve those? You know, we've all lost a few pounds only to put them right back on. We've all joined the gym at the start of the year and quit after a month or so. We've all set up new systems and behaviors only to slide back into the old way the first time we get pressured by time. Sometimes this is because the goal was not really important to us. We didn't go through the priority exercise. It was a wish list. It was a should thing, one of those things somebody said we should do. It was one of those things others thought we should do. But more often, it's the result of just losing focus or forgetting what it was in terms of the goal that we set. So I go to bed at night thinking that one of my goals for the year was I'm going to get up early and I'm going to work on that book that I'm going to write this year before I get sidetracked. And the alarm goes off and I go, "Oh, it's a rainy, gloomy day out. I don't have any meetings scheduled. Let's hit snooze." You know? Now, did I consciously decide that my goal that I had set of writing a book was not a good goal? No, I just forgot about it. I just lost focus on it. So the cure is to be sure to set up a system that keeps this from happening. It may be an accountability partner or coach who you have to report to on a regular basis about your progress or your lack of progress. It may be a series of reminders that you set up on your computer or the alarm on your watch. You know, this is the same theory that's behind those popular wristbands. In fact, I had one on earlier today till I changed, and it was one that said, finish strong. And it reminds me to keep working on a particular goal and not give up just because I didn't reach it today. So what you need to do, what I like to do in business, is we decide, here's a whole bunch of goals. Which ones, after our prioritize exercise, which ones have the highest ROI, either financially or emotionally, that we want to really achieve? And then who is the one person that is responsible for seeing that this goal is achieved? Somebody has to own the goal. Whether we're talking a group or a partner or you yourself, are you taking ownership, responsibility for achieving this goal? What we've done most in many of the business groups I work with, we then pick a team of people who are interested in this particular goal. Not just people that we could assign it to, but people who have some, for some reason, have an interest in this particular goal. Maybe they're interested in seeing us achieve more sales because they like marketing, or maybe they like meeting new people, or maybe they've got experience in sales. Maybe they're assigned to this group to work on the cost-saving goal because they really like numbers, or they really like systems or efficiency studies, you know, not just because, you know, they happened to be in the hallway when we came out of the meeting and said, let's create a team to work on this goal. Then we set up weekly meetings of the team, weekly meetings so that we don't forget it, so that we stay focused on what this goal is, so that we reiterate in this weekly meeting, let's talk again, can we define any more clearly what the end result is going to be? How are we doing on the items that we identified we have to complete to make progress? And speaking of progress, it really helps to set up milestones, especially when you're working on a big or a long-term goal. You know, I love the fact that I'm, for me, a big thing is making lists every day. So in the morning, I've made my list, or the night before, I've made my list of the three or four key things I absolutely have to get done today. And I'll tell you, it is ridiculous how much pleasure I get out of crossing an item off. It's a milestone, okay? Even though, and I've learned that the goal may be, let's go back to this, write a book. Writing a book might take me all year. I can't wait till the end of the year to be congratulated by Paul for finally having done something I've talked about for a long time. So what I'm going to set up is some type of accountability program with milestones that says, you know, each month I'm going to produce a new chapter. Each week I'm going to write 1,000 words, whatever it is that's appropriate, so that I can feel good about making progress, or I can identify that I'm kind of slipping behind and I need to do something else. In our business example, besides the weekly meetings, we then have an accountability meeting once a month with the management group to report on how we're doing on achieving these goals or progress. Rather than waiting to mid-year and going, okay, how are we doing on those goals we set on our retreat last December or last January? It's too late. We've already blown 6 months if we didn't make any progress. So we want to set up a system so that we can work on it more frequently. Well, that's the system that I like. Prioritize, visualize, and set up accountability. If you go to the effort to do that, if you make sure, number one, be really clear that you want this goal and you know what the goal looks like. Can you measure it? Can you see it? Can you define it? And then be really clear on what the accountability system is and what the steps are along the way. Well, that's my PVA system. Prioritize, visualize, and set up accountability. So good luck on achieving your goals. There's no reason if you go through this that you won't achieve them. And if you don't, you're still going to feel good about the progress you made in getting close to achieving them. Well, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for our other shows with some really great guests. And speaking of guests, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we're scheduling guests now to be on the show. So if you'd like to, just drop me an email or give me a call, and I'd be glad to talk to you. I hope you've enjoyed the show today, that our plans for the new year will encourage you to listen and participate as a guest on our show. Our goal is always to have a discussion that provides you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. I'll be back with you again next week, January 19th.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller.